Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's been a cold and blistery weekend all over the continental United States. So this Tuesday, here to warm you up with some sports talk, it's time to Listen In with KNN. Now today's show is fitness worthy. That's right, before you start writing down your New Year's resolutions of losing weight, I'm going to make sure you go about it the right way. Today I'll be joined by fitness expert Michelle Law. That's right, it's a woman's takeover on today's show. All right, that means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag listening with KNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
All right, it's time for Kelsey's Do Good Sports Organization of the Week segment. Now, today I have the honor and privilege of honoring a group that I personally had experience working with. Today I'll be honoring Most Valuable Kids Incorporated in Washington, D.C. Now, today they're getting awarded for helping nonprofits overcome financial obstacles associated with live events by distributing unused tickets for children to attend professional and collegiate sporting events, as well as entertainment events. And before I introduce today's guest, I want to give you a quick fun fact. Over $6 million worth of event tickets have been donated to MVK in DC since their inception all the way back in 2003. So without further ado, joining me today to further talk about the organization is Program Manager, Ms. Rachel Southall. Rachel, how are you?
I'm so great, Kelsey. Thank you so much for having us and for this wonderful honor.
No problem. Well, thank you for all the good that you do. And just to briefly explain what MVK does for someone that's never heard about it, how would you explain the work that you guys do in the DC office?
Well, you just did an amazing job introing us.
Thank you.
The simplest way to explain it is basically we send kids in the area to sports and cultural events. Using all unused tickets from either season ticket holders, ticket donors, or local team partners. So we're kind of filling the gap of not only getting people to give their tickets away if they're not going to use them, but allowing kids that are local in the community who are part of this community to actually participate in such a fun and awesome community event like a Wizards game or a play or something that, you know, most kids normally get to see. So it's kind of bridging the gap in our community by donating tickets.
Right. I mean, giving the tickets has been huge, Rachel. And you guys have done this, I mean, through countless games, collegiate-wise, with Georgetown and Maryland, and then on a professional level with the Washington Wizards and the Redskins. But tell me, I mean, so far, what has been your favorite part of your job, you know, giving back to these students in the Washington, D.C. area?
Oh, that's such a great question. And honestly, working at this organization has just been so amazing in that I can dedicate my 9 to 5 to making people smile and making people happy. But for me, the best part of my job, I've been here for about 5 years, is honestly like getting the feedback from our recipient organizations and seeing like the pictures and the thank you notes from kids who have kind of been growing up going through our program, and just seeing that they kind of feel a part of the community, that maybe they went to a Wizards game once every year, and so now they're a Wizards fan. Like, seeing the growth over time, like, that is the most amazing feeling, that, you know, we're allowing people who are actually a part of this community to participate in something that should be for them. That has been the most amazing part for me, to just to witness it and feel like I had a small part in making that happen.
That was so well said. I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. I know everyone listening will feel the same way. But another part that you guys do, I love that you guys serve nonprofits that serve recuperating or injured soldiers, as well as active military and their families in the D.C. area. So can you talk a little bit more on that part of the organization?
Sure. I mean, that's something that's been implemented far before I got here, and it's such a great idea. Because we are in such a hub for not only active duty military, but veterans and their families. So they came up with the idea. I don't want to take credit for it, but to incorporate these groups into our programs, because a lot of the times these families who are here while their other family members are deployed, they need to be a part of the community just as much as anyone else, but often don't have that opportunity because they have a member of their family who is, like I said, deployed or not around or active duty. So we just thought it was a great idea, especially in this area and, you know, all the activity we have going on in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area as far as military, to bring them in. And so we work with a lot of groups and are able to expand our reach in that way. And that has been another awesome part of working with MDK.
Wonderful. I mean, everybody loves when people give back to troops that serve our country. So I think that's such an important part of your program. And for people that want to get involved, Rachel, both as a ticket donor or as a nonprofit recipient group, can you explain how people can get involved with MDK?
Certainly. So there's a ton of ways to get involved. Number one, if you ever have a ticket to an event and you can't go, this is your chance. We take tickets to anything, any ticket event. We talked before but about the Wizards, the Caps, but we also take smaller events, college games. We'll take events to the Kennedy Center. We've donated weeks to summer camp. Anything that we can donate, we have such a large group of people we can distribute tickets to. So if you do want to donate and you never have before, you can visit our website, mostvaluablekids.org. It's very simple. It'll lay it all out for you. And especially if you're a season ticket holder for any of the local teams, most of them have a function built in. So just inquire with your rep and you can donate to us. And then we're always looking for new recipient agencies to distribute the tickets to. So again, if you just visit our website, mostvaluablekids.org, you can learn more about the program, see some of the great pictures from some of our events. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram. And we would love to bring more community groups into our organization. We work with so many types of groups, from local public schools, charter schools, group homes, transitional housing programs, mentoring programs, youth leagues, the list goes on. So we want to bring in as many groups as we can so that we can expand our reach and make D.C., Maryland, Virginia just a better place for everyone. So those are the easiest ways to get involved, either by donating your tickets or by becoming a recipient agency. But again, you can just visit the website, and there's so many ways to get involved. So you can always reach out to us, and we're always looking to do more.
Wonderful. Well, you gave all the information. I hope people definitely reach out, because it's such a great organization right here in the nation's capital, and they serve everyone here in the area. So, Rachel, thanks again for joining me, and congrats once again to Most Valuable Kids in D.C. for earning this week's Kelsey's Do Good Sports Organization of the Week Award.
Thank you so much, Kelsey, and thanks for all that you do. You are the best.
Oh, thanks so much, Rachel. Bye.
Bye.
It's now time for a quick commercial break, and we'll bring you right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N, where we give you sports talk like you've never heard before. It's now that special time to welcome my special guest to the show, Miss Nichelle Loss. Now, if you're on Facebook, I suggest you follow my guest, as she is constantly uploading fitness videos to help you get to be the best version of yourself. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Nichelle to the show. Nichelle, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Thank you for making time, especially since you're all the way in Canada. We truly appreciate you coming on today's show.
No problem. It keeps me warm inside to be here with you because it's snowing out there today.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we got some of that snow, too, this weekend. I was not prepared for it at all.
I don't think we're ever prepared for snow.
Nobody can ever be. I completely agree with you. And I'm quickly going to run through your bio just because I want people to know about you before we kick it off into today's show.
Sounds great.
Wonderful. So Nichelle is all about changing lives. Nichelle Laws is the owner of the Optimum Training Center. She's also a certified personal trainer, a published fitness model, a figure competitor, transformation and competition coach, as well as a kickboxing instructor. She's also a motivational speaker and a proud mom of four young boys. She recently resigned from a 15-year career as a police officer to pursue her love of health and fitness. Now, Nichelle is also a fitness expert and article contributor and model for various fitness magazines. She has appeared in four television commercials for Nike, promotional and advertising campaigns for various products and companies and infomercials. She has also been chosen to be the fitness consultant for the Edmonton Oilers Octane Cheerleaders for multiple seasons. She has trained and competed at an amateur level in both boxing and kickboxing for over 18 years. Wow, simply amazing. The hard training and dedication eased her transition into figure and bikini competitions, which she started back in 2005. Nichelle, I don't know how you do it all, but wow, what a bio. It seems like you kind of have your hands in everything.
I do. It's a lot of fun, though. It's what keeps me, you know, young at heart and all that fun stuff.
No, it's great. I think it's, you know, you're simply amazing just doing all these different things. But can you kind of explain more? What exactly is the Optimum Training Center?
Optimum Training Center is, it actually stands for OTC as well. That's kind of like the, you know, the shorter version. And it's the personal training studio that we opened up here in Toronto, Ontario, after I did resign from policing after my 15-year career. And so what we do here, we opened it up pretty much for personal training only. And it's a 6,000-square-foot facility. And why we opened it as personal training only is because of my, you know, our busy schedule and with the four children and so much else going on, we figured we didn't want to be here, you know, 6 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, just kind of running a gym the way, you know, normal gyms run kind of thing. So this way we opened up as a personal training studio. What we do is rent space for personal trainers, and they kind of come and go as they please as long as their schedule, you know, their schedule works with their clients. They kind of come and go. Mm-hmm. And we're here at, you know, different times of the day, and that's what I enjoy about the flexibility of it.
Right.
And we also run group classes out of here, small group training as well as large group training. So there's kind of like a tier system, and then we have some professional athletes that work out of here as well in their off season. So it's a good gym to, you know, personal train, and, you know, we have a bunch of different equipment for strength and conditioning purposes, and, you know, we kind of do it all, kind of like my life.
Right, just putting it all together. I think that
That's right.
is wonderful. And I'm just curious, I mean, you're doing so much, but, I mean, what's next for you? Or do you think you've kind of reached that plateau of, you know, doing everything that you want to do?
You know, there's always talk about, you know, because, you know, when you reach a goal and you want to reach new goals. And, you know, for me, you're right, I have pretty much done everything that I set my, you know, set my mind to. I think next year I'm still going to compete. I'm still going to go back to the competition stage. I did take this year off. Just to kind of regroup and, you know, focus on other things and make sure everything was, you know, running smoothly. I'm going to head back to the competition stage next year. And I'm also just going to try and grow my business, because a lot of my business, even before opening the gym, and this is how I did the transition into leaving policing into fitness, was my online clients and my online business, so NichelleLoss.com, and that's where, you know, there's a lot of things happening on that end. So I design programs, whether it be meal, like nutrition plans and training routines, and I focus, you know, I mean, the past 10 years have been really, really good for me in terms of online, and now what I want to do even further is branch out and reach out internationally and get some more, you know, international clients.
Oh,
because
wonderful.
Everything's done online, it's really good.
Exactly right. We talked about online. It's so amazing to me still that we live in a world where you can, like, train people, as you said, virtually. You know, they don't have to be right in front of you. That's such a huge opportunity.
It really is, and it allows me as a trainer to still be there for multiple clients at a time because everything is online. And so, you know, then the people, like, a lot of people go, oh, how do you, online, that's just strange, right? But you know what? You're still accountable to that person because my clients send me their pictures at check-in time, and they know they're accountable, and it's incredible how, you know, how successful the programs can be even though they're online and you don't have that one-to-one. The good thing is they do have access to me, unlimited email support. We have our own Facebook group, like a private Facebook group. We can do Skype calls. We can, there's so much available, so many tools available online that make the program such a success.
That's so amazing to me because that was my next question. I mean, how do you keep someone accountable when it's online? Because I know me personally, I kind of like having someone yell at me, but then I never thought about doing it online. I mean, I feel like that could still kind of get you the fitness goals that you want to reach. And I feel like you said you're doing it. I mean, you have all that constant support. So I think it's just another way, and it kind of eliminates the excuse of people saying, well, they can't make it out to the gym or, they don't have time, because now you're literally so accessible and can come right into their homes online.
Exactly. Yeah, you totally can. And if you are having, a bad day, you can just reach out on our Facebook group, and not only I'm available, but my other coach is available as well as the team, and we're a nice group of everyone supports one another, and there's no judgment, no bias, everyone's like, let's go, and the support is amazing. And I always come up with different challenges, and even for during Christmas time, I have a stocking challenge going on where there's always something going on where we all can get involved and feel like a community.
That is so, I'm already motivated from just hearing you talk, so I can imagine how they are in your fitness group. But I'm just curious, Michelle, was this always what you thought you would be? Can you kind of explain some of your background, and then how did you land into the career that you're in now?
Oh, gosh, I never thought I would ever be in my, and I think that's a lot of times when you do find your passion along the way, but I don't think people really realize that they're going to end up where they're going to be sometimes because, growing up as a teenager, I'm going way back, a teenager, I always wanted to be a police officer, always, always, always. And I never thought I would be anything else, so I went for my goal. But fitness has always been a part of my life because I had some challenges, in my childhood, this and that, and I was at a point in my life where I had a lot of stress and anger and all those kind of emotions that I needed to kind of channel out and get out. And so I started kickboxing when I was 16, and I walked into a gym, and I'm like, okay, let me try this. This is new, and I fell in love with it because it took the negative kind of, negative energy, and I turned it into positive, and I challenged it. I channeled it properly. And I fell in love with the sport of kickboxing and boxing. And for me, that I always say those four walls or the walls of the gym were kind of like my sanctuary, my safe place. And from there, I just learned because it was kickboxing, not a different sport, but, the mental discipline and everything else that's involved in training for a fight, because I used to amateur kickbox and box, was just, it just took you to another level. So I stayed in kickboxing and boxing for my entire life because for me it was always that, I needed to have that in my life because just as a stress reliever, right?
Right.
And when I got onto the police force, I continued to kickbox and box throughout, my entire career. And it's when I met my husband and I started having children, that's when I found, I was like, I can't do everything.
Right.
I needed to still, I love the outlet of kickboxing. So that's when I started to instruct only. So I stopped competing. I retired as a fighter, and I just continued, by paying it forward by instructing. And then I was missing that competition and that competitive edge. So I started to, I entered my first fitness competition.
Wow.
And so I found the difference with the competition was still there because you're still up on stage and you're being, but it was also keeping me, my mindset was still focused on staying healthy, staying active, lifting weights, but I can do that all on my own time.
Right.
Where in boxing and kickboxing, it was different because you had to be, at a specific gym at a certain time and you had to stay there for 3 hours and spar against everybody else. And it was just more strenuous. So that's what got me into the fitness competition world. And from there, I made great, I just made really great gains and I did really well. And so everyone would approach me. And at the time, because I was police officers, we don't trust everybody. So you always want to trust, your inner circle. So a lot of the girls would come up to me and say, how did you do that? And this and that. And can you coach me? I said, well, I don't coach, but let me try. So I did my first girl. I said, you're going to be my guinea pig. And the guinea pig ended up losing 70 pounds, 80 pounds. And from there, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, you go
yeah.
from Michelle Lasso, oh my God, I did this, I did that, you know. I'm
right.
joking, but like it's incredible how much of an impact you can have by just helping that one person. And then life started to change around. It's just, you know, people started to come to me, and all of a sudden I turned into this coach, and all my days off, you know, started to being tied up, not tied up, but in a good way, like tied up with
right.
helping other people with their fitness goals. And then at one point, a couple years ago, it really got to a point where I had to make a choice. I was helping people in policing, but I wasn't getting the satisfaction I was getting by helping someone in fitness. Because with policing, it's like I was there, you know, at a bad time, or I was arresting somebody, or I was putting them in jail,
right.
or I was taking them away from their environment. And not everyone likes police officers, and I might be helping, you know, but I never hear about it. Or I can't help the people because they're already stuck in their, unfortunately, their bad environment. Whereas fitness,
right.
people come to me because they want my help.
Exactly.
And so,
right.
you know, I'm not just changing them physically. I'm also changing them emotionally and mentally. You know, there's just a whole different thing. And just my heart is filled, you know, with so much, like, this is what I wanted to do, you know. And that's where, like, it kind of just changed. And my passion is now helping others achieve their goals and, you know, just helping them reach the stars.
I mean, I can tell from the passion in your voice that you've really found your true calling, which I think is wonderful, and it's something I hope everyone finds. And then it's amazing that you also inspire others through your coaching. And I love, you know, your story about how you started off kind of with the one person, and now, you know, how it's transformed so many people's lives. And just to keep viewers up to date, today's show will be a bit different, as I really want to get this health information out. So we'll be question and answer format, but remember to follow along using hashtag listenin with KNN to keep up with the show. Now, getting back to you, Nichelle, my first question, I mean, is that you're the mom of not one, two, or three young boys, but four young boys. So how in the world do you find time to balance everything that you're doing? How do you find time to balance it all?
Oh my goodness! I run my house like a, like an army base.
I'm sure.
I have to, with four young boys. The testosterone alone in the house, especially with my husband. Sorry, I almost say I have five boys. It's really, really crazy. One day, I'm telling you, I'm going to video myself from day to night and just kind of put it on fast speed, and you're going to see how my day is. It's unbelievably crazy, but you know what? We have to make sure I run everything on a tight schedule. And,
right.
you know, I don't say my husband helps so much. So he's a great support system, and we just kind of, you know, keep it going. And, you know, the day starts at 5 o'clock in the morning, and
right.
it just be nonstop. And now my youngest has gone to school. So it's a
Aww.
Good, we, you know, we get them all off to school. I know you say, oh,
right.
I'm like, time for another.
I know.
No. But we get them off to school. And I mean, although that morning, that from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. is quite challenging, but once they're off to school, we do have that 5 to 6 hour window where I can get my chores down, my errands, my, you know, some of the personal training that I do at Optimum Training Center, run that side of things and everything else. And then once 2:30, 3 o'clock hits, I've got to make sure that I've got to be back for the kids. So that's the one thing I do appreciate about owning my own business is I
right.
do see my children off to school and I pick them up at night. So, you know, I do have that flexibility, and it's, you know, for me, that means a lot, especially with the four boys, right?
Right.
And then,
I mean,
you know, after – what?
No, go ahead. I love that you're kind of showing that you could do it both. I mean, you have your career and you're also being a great mom. And I think sometimes people, you know, wonder, can you have your career and also be a mom to your kids? And I think you're proving that. I think that's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I do try my best. And I think as parents, we are harder on ourselves. And, you know, even sometimes I feel guilty, but I shouldn't feel guilty, because taking care of myself and taking care of others and just, you know, running
right.
a business is part of, you know, you take care of yourself first, and then you're actually taking care of everybody else, because, you know, once you feel good in your own skin and once you feel good in your own mind, then you can take care of everybody else. I'm talking about your family, right? So you shouldn't feel guilty about that, because I think as moms, a lot of us moms do have that guilt. And I always say, no, you don't. You need to take care of yourself first, because you won't be able to take care of your kids or your family if you don't.
That's such a great point. Such a great point. And like I said, you're a living example of that. So it proves that you can have, and you don't only have one kid. Again, you have four, and you're still being able to do it. So I feel like there's no excuses. As you said, you have to always remember to take care of yourself. And then as you said, it'll take care of everyone else in your family. And going off that question, Nichelle, I mean, you have four kids. I still can't get over that. And you look amazing. So tell us, how are you keeping in shape?
I've always, been in the gym environment, but I make sure I try to get my workouts in every day, at least 5 days a week. So I'm very balanced. If I can't make it to the gym for whatever reason, I'm not hard on myself. I'm just, okay, that happens. Let's be flexible. Let's try it later on. If not later on, that's okay. I'm not, you need to let that go as well. Always have to maintain that flexibility and open-mindedness. But I try to get my workout in at 5 in the morning. My husband stays home with the kids, and I kind of come back at 6:30, and when they're not even awake yet, so they don't even know I've gone, which is really good
right.
because, I don't interrupt any family time, right? Or vice versa. My husband will go first, and I'll go after him. And either way, we just kind of work together. And then that's pretty much when I like to do my workout, nice, bright, and early in the morning, and then it's done for the day. So, and for whatever reason, if I don't get that done, I just try to do it, throughout the rest of the day. But me, I find I have to go before my brain realizes I'm going.
Right. No, and I love the time frame that you said, it's before they even wake up, so you're getting your time in, but then you also have time for them. But I'm curious, so you said 5 days a week, is that about like an hour that you're working out every day? And is that something that we should all kind of try to attain? I like to say the average, American, the average Canadian, is that kind of like a good time frame for us to do 5 days a week for like an hour every day?
Really, it all depends on how much time you have and your fitness level and your level of dedication. I mean, there's a lot of different, variables that go into, I think as long as you're doing something it could be even as 10 minutes a day. It all depends on your schedule. I know so many Americans and Canadians, everybody's just so busy. And I totally get that. And, we have a lot of single parents out there who, like I said, I have the support of my husband, but many don't. Maybe you're single. You know what? Even if you're at your desk and you want to get up for your desk, use your lunch hour. Use your lunch hour. Go for a walk. Take the stairs. There's so many different things you can do. And I've even done workouts before for people who are at their workplace. Get up, get on the floor, use your chair, use your desk, use something, that you can at least move around, stretch. There's so many different things you can do. So I would say, you can do as little as 10 minutes. You could do an hour. You can do an hour and a half. You can include weights. You can include just your body weight. You can do circuit style, which is just, one exercise after the other. And let's say put 5 to 6 exercises together, and once you've completed those 5 or 6, start back up. You can go repetitions, or you can do it like timed. If you don't, use a timer if you only have a certain amount of time. There's so many different ways, so there should be no excuses.
Basically, right? No excuses for anyone. And hearing you talk, Nichelle, it seems like you've always been health cautious, but I'm just curious, were you kind of just always like in this healthy lifestyle, or was it something that you had to adapt to, through your career and through your life?
Well, it was a little bit of both. I've always been health conscious. I did grow up with a single mom, and so we didn't have a lot of money. And, she always made sure, though, I was, at least fed and dressed and gone to school. But, healthy back then, there's so much knowledge that we know now. When I was a teenager, I just used to eat, whatever, whether it be, fast food or, just something quick on the go, that kind of thing. But I think as you start with all the knowledge out there now, and everyone's so health conscious, of course I cleaned up my diet, so to speak. And it also helped me when I was boxing competitively, when you were coming up to, let's say, a fight that you had to make weight, which was a certain, weight class. So I was always kind of conscious of the food, like say portions and, that kind of thing. But in terms of what I ate and what it does for my body, of course I've been over the years, especially now if I have children, I want to make sure that, they're provided the best. So it's a little bit of both. I did a small adaptation, and I've also been just always kind of conscious, especially in policing too. I never wanted to be. And I don't mean this, you know, I just didn't want to be a lazy, you know, especially in a job like that. I always had to be ready, always be fit in my eyes. I said, you know, if I have to chase somebody, you know, over a fence, be sure I'm going to catch them, you know.
Right. That is so, so, so well said. And then that takes me to my next question, Michelle. I mean, as a mom, how have you kind of incorporated overall lessons of health and fitness into your personal family lives? Like, are you motivating, you know, your kids to also do the same things you're doing and your husband? I mean, how has that kind of, you know, been incorporated into your family?
I think our kids are, obviously, they are reflections of us. And I think just without even trying, they just copy what we do.
Right.
So, I mean, that in all aspects, not even just eating or, you know, but even in lifestyle. I mean, you don't even notice it sometimes. I, you know, my kids are in martial arts, which I guess we kind of take after mama, but they're in karate and, you know, they'll like bust out a karate kind of kata in the middle of the living room. They'll throw down a push-up and like just for fun, but you can see they're fun and always involve some sort of lifestyle or some sort of exercise. And it's really nice to see. And you know, they're not stuck at the video games all the time. And, you know, not that they don't play, you know, and again, I run my house like an army, but I do let them have fun. They're children. I do let them have snacks that they want. But, I say like 80% of the time, let's eat healthy and, you know, be conscious of what you're eating and, you know, and exercise and all that. But you know what? You want to play your video games, that's fine. But I know I put a time limit on or, you know,
right.
based on, you know, how they're, you know, behavior has been, that kind of thing, they'll get rewarded.
Okay.
But, you know, I just make sure that, I don't know, I don't want to drive it into them because
right.
that's, personally, I just don't like that either. I
okay.
want them to like it on their own. I want them to love the lifestyle. I never want to push anything on them. But I just, you know, I go day to day and I just kind of go with the flow and they just seem to follow. And we also have fun. We do workouts together and I was doing a family fit in a bit, which is I took the kids out and we go in different places. We'll go to a track or we'll go to a park or something.
Yeah.
And I'll say, okay, guys, you want to work out with mom? And we video it. I put it up on my YouTube channel. And we do like 5-6 exercises to show other parents that, you know what,
cool.
you can take your kids and you can make them part of your program, you know,
right.
and they love it. They're doing push-ups and tricep dips and runs. And,
oh, wow.
you know, they have a bunch of fun with it. Yeah. So I just like to incorporate them in everything, but let them make their own decision.
Right. I love that you incorporate it into them having fun. You know, you're not pushing on them, but they're having fun while they're doing it. And as you said, I mean, you're an example of that. And I think sometimes people forget that. But, you know, a lot of times kids learn from what they see. And so seeing you, you know, what you do, I'm sure it inspires them. And something else they want to kind of touch on that probably inspired you. I mean, you recently retired from a 15-year career as a police officer. So I'm just curious if there's any specific lessons you've learned from being a cop that have transferred over to your current career, if any.
That's a good question. I mean, I think in general, I mean, no matter what we've done, we always take experiences from our past lives, you know, or just our past
yep.
experiences and jobs and use them. So anything specifically, no, I do find I can never turn off that, what you call it, the switch of a police officer's kind of mindset. Like, I always know what's going on. I always laugh at my kids.
Right.
You can't get anything by me. Don't even try it. I know. But, I mean, it's the same in, you know, I think learning how to deal with people, you know, I mean, coming into a situation sometimes that's different every day, you know, it's not always about getting worked up. It's about, you know, defusing the situation, getting to the bottom and, you know, seeing everyone's point of view and that kind of thing. So I learned so many lessons as a police officer. I loved my career as a police officer. So it was always, it's always great to take those kind of concepts and apply them in my new career, but really
right.
dealing with people and, you know, also trying to, you know, surveillance-wise, security-wise, you know,
yep.
You know, it's just all in all, there's just really good tips that I've taken from there.
I mean, I think, as you said, I think any job that you do, you might not even realize it, but you take so many lessons from it. And as you said, I mean, you kind of learn just great people skills and you're kind of just always alert. And I feel like that, you know, has helped you tremendously, of course, in your career now. And I think it's also great that you have that background because honestly, I mean, I'm like, who couldn't trust a cop, right? And then now you're a fitness expert. So I think it just shows, you know, just the great, that you're pretty much great in everything that you've done. But I kind of want to just ask you a general and a question, Michelle. I mean, I think we hear all this talk about fitness and everything. everyone knows they should be healthy and fit, right? But I mean, just overall, like, what would you say, let's say in one sentence, why is fitness so important?
In one sentence. I don't talk
that's
in
hard.
One sentences.
or let's say in, like, just general terms.
You know what? Three words. Physically, mentally, emotionally. Those three things. That's pretty good. you know what? Fitness is important for those three things because you need to keep yourself healthy in all.
Right. No, that sounds, I mean, honestly, you said it well. It's nothing else to it. It's pretty simple, and obviously it can help you in all facets of your life with that. And I want to go back now to your career as a figure competitor. Now, I'm just curious, because I think a lot of times we see, you know, these pictures of these figure competitors, but I don't think a lot of people honestly know what they are or, you know, kind of like what's it like to get there. So I'm just curious, I mean, have you had to overcome any obstacles as a woman, as a figure competitor? And the second part of that question is, how has the industry of figure competing changed over time?
Oh, that's a good question. As a woman, I don't think, other than as you get, I would say, like a little bit older in terms of, I'm talking hormones and just your body in general, especially moms, like our body changes after each kid, never mind four. Those, I mean, I wouldn't say they're obstacles, but there's certainly issues that personally myself I had to deal with because every time I'd have a child, my body would change or I would gain, you know, some weight. And like for me personally, I gained 50 pounds each pregnancy. But it was also a great, you know, an opportunity is after my children were born, I would take the year, well, thankfully in Canada we have, you know, the 1 year maternity leaves. I would take the year to get my body back in shape or, you know, take that time to, you know, properly, I know, take my time to get my body back, but also, you know, deal with any issues that I did, whether it be, I mean, I thankfully never had any health issues, but just in general, you know, just getting used to the new baby, the new environment, and everything basically changes, right? And your whole life changes.
Right.
But, it, you know, doing a figure competition is definitely hard, definitely okay. hard. And, you know, there are a lot more, like a lot more people are doing them lately. So I started back in 2005, but over the years, a lot has changed. A lot has kind of, like the more federations have come out, like a lot more competitors now. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still just as hard to compete depending, you know, I mean, it also depends on genetics and your body and, you know, what category you're going into because there's several different categories. And because I can put on muscle, just I think that's just because of my boxing training. I had like muscle mass to begin with. That I chose figure, and it takes about, for me, I would say about a 21-week competition prep.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to make sure you're mentally ready because, you know, again, that mental component, you know, physically going to the gym, you know, you just go through the motions, you go to the gym and everything, but your eating is everything. So it's portion control and ensuring you have enough, you know, protein and carbs because carbs is what, you know, gives you the energy to kind of get you through the workouts and of course good fats and that's all, you know, just making sure everything's functioning properly, your brain and your whole immune health and all that. But everything, just kind of keeping it portion controlled and, you know, paired up with the fitness and of course the cardio if you have, you know, some, you know, if you want to get super lean for stage. So all that takes time, and it's an intense 16 to 21. You know, some people take longer, some people take shorter. I like to take longer, for me, is better so that I can take my time. I don't want to stress my body too much because that raises, you know, cortisol, and that could just, it could take a toll on your body. And I don't want to be that, you know, grumpy competitor going, you know, I want to do it, I want it to be fun. Because once it's not fun, then there's no enjoyment in it, you know, and I want my kids to see me happy. I want my husband to see me happy. And of course, all my clients who see me going through this, I walk the walk. So I need them to see that you can enjoy this process, this whole transformation that we're going through. And to realize that when you are at stage weight, that's only temporary. You know, I think a lot of people, it does play with your head because you see your body go through this transformation into this lean, you know, muscle mass and you're up on stage. And then you realize, you know, oh, you know, back to reality when you go back to like normal weight, and I say normal weight, you know, it varies 10 to 20 pounds off season, that then it becomes a mental thing. Oh my gosh, I'm too fat, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. You're not. This is part of the sport, you know, and I think that's the hardest thing that I have to, you know, tell people, and I have to get them used to that. And that's, you know, as a coach, as a friend, as a, you know, all that, I do love to make sure and that's they realize that that's the changes are going to happen.
Right. I mean, I think that's so well said, because I think, as you said, I think we see bigger competitors, but it's just kind of hard to fully understand what goes behind it. You know, we see all those big muscles and stuff, but I think you kind of explained, you know, it's not easy, and you kind of explained, you know, how you've had to kind of stay on track when you are a figure competitor. So I think your testimony will kind of probably inspire, you know, someone out there who possibly is thinking about that as a career. And now I want to transition into your training programs that you have. You have an 8 and 12 week one, and I saw the Fit and Fabulous, which I love the name, program that you have. But I'm just curious, like, what does this program entail, and then what's it kind of like training with you?
Well, training with me, I mean, you know, I train hard personally, so I do expect the same of my clients. So I do let them know up front, you know, I'm with you the entire time. And the 12-week, there's a few different programs, but like you said, the 12-week Fit and Fabulous program is a generic program so that I designed for most of the people that when I've done over the years, a lot of people normally come up to me and they want to lose weight and they want to gain lean muscle. That seems to be the average. So what I did was I took that program and I designed a generic training routine.
Okay.
And again, I mean, because it's generic, I put about 5 days of training in there mixed in with cardio, and I explain the importance of cardio and how much you should do depending on, you know, like depending on your goals. And I also designed a meal plan that they can have for 12 weeks. So they follow along the meal plan and they follow along the training routine for 12 weeks, and they have my unlimited support and, you know, access to our private Facebook group for the whole entire 12 weeks. And from there, you know, they take their pictures and their measurements, and they basically, you know, track their progress throughout. And hopefully at the end, I haven't had anyone say they didn't like the program. So, yeah, you know, and they go through a transformation, and most of them are so happy. And, you know, like I said, they're happy with themselves physically, but also emotionally they go through so much. And, you know, I have the 8-week program, which is similar. It's a little bit more hands-on in terms of myself as a coach, because at the end of the 8 weeks, we do a photo shoot, which is really fun.
Cool. Who doesn't love a photo shoot?
I know, right?
Very cool. Very cool. I think it's great, you know, that you have these different programs, and it feels like it kind of, you know, it works to what your current schedule is. So, you know, you have different programs for different people. But staying on that topic, I mean, most recently, there kind of have been more reports of people kind of overworking themselves when they're working out. Some have even been sent to the hospital, or worse, have died. So I want to ask you, as a fitness expert, how does a person know how far they can push themselves when they're working out?
I always tell my clients that they should listen to their body. It's, you know, especially as an online coach, I do some personal training, but mostly as an online coach, I'm not there with them physically. So they do have to really focus on not only what they're obviously doing, but they always have to focus on their health first. So before you start any program, make sure you check with your doctor first, and make sure you do get tested. You know, make sure everything's functioning. And I'm just saying, you know, a regular physical, a blood pressure, anything like that. Ensure that you don't have anything, you know, before you start the program. And just because you don't have any doesn't mean that you can't, you know, check again halfway through, right? Because you just never know. And in terms of pushing yourself hard, I mean, that's, you know, you really do got to focus on, I know you know, people do have goals, and of course, you know, you want to work to achieve those, but not at the sake of your health.
Right.
So you really have to listen to your body, and if it's telling you you're too tired, take the rest. It's needed. Nothing is more important than your health.
Right.
So, I always tell them, you know, why wouldn't you want to be around for, you know, your children or just your friends in general?
Right.
I mean, is it that important, right? So that's the number one thing I mean, if there's a tip I can give.
Right. And I had to ask you that as a fitness, you know, expert, because I think, you know, especially with New Year's coming up, sometimes people want to push too hard to reach their goal. And I think, you know, nothing wrong with pushing yourself. But as you said, you want to make sure you're here. You want to make sure you're healthy. So, you know, push yourself to your limit, you know, speak with your doctor. So I think that was well said. And another trend, Nichelle, that we see going on, though, is people, more and more people are going vegan and vegetarian. But there are some people, I think, like me, who just can't give up animal products because I love like a burger or something like that.
Me too.
I'm like, I couldn't do it, but I give props to everyone doing it. But I'm curious, I mean, what would be your recommended diet for someone like me, you know, who doesn't want to go vegan or vegetarian? You know, how can we continue to eat healthy? Because I think people forget, you know, eating is just as important as working out.
It totally is. In fact, I always say to my clients, you know, like I was saying before, and training is, you know, you go through the motions, but diet is like, you know, 70-80% of the success, right? So it's about portion control and knowing what to pair up with what when you eat. So a lot of people say, oh, I eat so healthy. And they say, okay, well, write down, let me see your food journal. Write down for me every single thing that goes in your mouth. And then you realize, yes, it's healthy, but you're eating too much of it, or you're eating, you know, too much of one thing. And you're just, I just help them along kind of pairing, you know, things with what to ensure that they're getting like a healthy, balanced meal at each, you know, at each time. And from personally, I like to eat 5-6 meals a day. And okay. I like to eat, you know, smaller portions. And depending on, you know, what time of year I am or whether I'm competing or not, like the calories change, right? But,
right.
I mean, as a blanket, as an overview, for us meat eaters, there's plenty of lean proteins that you can eat. And
okay.
I'm you know, eggs or egg whites are a great example. White fish is really good. There's chicken, well, chicken breast, chicken
okay,
breast, turkey breast, there's bison, there's all kinds, you know, there's, oh, we can go on, like the list of, you know, there's lots of, just ensure that you're eating like a very lean protein. And I mean, you know, and if I can't, you know, get it all here, I mean, anyone can email me or you can even Google online and just find a list of lean proteins that you should be eating at every meal.
Okay. No, this is good to know. And, I mean, I'm guessing it's too with meats, of course. No, don't fry them, right, or grill them, like kind of bake them, it seems like, too, that you're going on, you know, when you are eating those meats. But as you said, it seems like portion control is kind of the biggest thing if you are a meat eater.
Yes,
and don't want to give it up. Well, this is good to know because I know there's some people, you know, who can't get away from it. You know, I don't think it's bad, but I think, you know, there's definitely ways that you can still keep it in your diet and make your stomach happy, but as well as your heart health happy and healthy.
Exactly, and it's the things that you pair up with, let's say a burger, well, it's all the extras that you add on there, like the mayonnaise and the cheese and the bun, you know, and it's just, I would just say if you're looking at, just making little, you know, tips, like if you're going to go for a burger and you are thinking, oh, you know, I'm trying to, you know, whatever it is, lose weight, let's say, then, you know, there's just little tricks, you know, avoid the bun or like skip the mayonnaise, skip the cheese, you know, that kind of thing, and have a salad instead of some french fries or, you know, you can do it.
Right. No, I love, like you said, you could change the sides up, or as you said, you know, maybe take off the bread. That way you're still getting the meat. There's just different ways that you could do it. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge diet change, which I know can be hard for people, you know, to kind of get used to. And that's why I love that, you know, what you recommended for people. And then another thing, Nichelle, is that people are living longer than ever, you know, longer than ever today. So I want to know, like, what kind of your fitness workouts that you would recommend for, let's say, people 50 and over? How can they, you know, kind of keep fit and do workouts that don't push them too far, but also so they can stay healthy?
Of course, yeah. Well, again, like knowing your limits, you know, that includes your you know, your age limit, right? Because some people think you just got to be very careful because as we do, you know, age, our bone density changes and just our mobility and our flexibility and just we just can't seem to do, you know, as much as we used to.
Right.
So what I recommend a lot of times is ensuring that you have like mobility exercises in the program. Contact, you know, if you're unsure, always contact, you know, a personal trainer to kind of help you, at least in the beginning, you know, help you out. Design a program that's specific to you, you know, to the person, because everyone has their individual needs. Ensure there's a lot of mobility and warm-ups and stretch and you know, stretching either after and before your workouts. You know, ensure, you know, you can include really, I mean, cardio, you can just do even swimming. You can do nice walks, you know, or you can even treadmills, you know, go on a small incline. But again, just be aware of your own limits,
right.
And, you know, especially age limits, but also listen to your body.
Right. No, I mean, that makes sense. And as you said, you know, don't push yourself too far, but you can still work out even as you get older. So I don't want people to think, you know, I'm getting older and I can't do it anymore. You know, you just have to, as you said, work out for what you can take and the great mobility exercises that you pointed to. But speaking of working out, Nichelle, I want to now transition into going to the gym. I know a lot of people, as we said, are busy and live these busy lives. So I want to ask you, truly, can you still get a good quality workout without going to the gym?
You definitely can. All you need is your body.
Okay, well,
body weight exercises are amazing.
Okay.
Now, whether, again, if you do them in just a regular circuit or, you know, like one exercise after the other and you want to go, let's say, as fast as you can do explosive movements, stuff that involve like plyometrics, which are, you know, anything that involves jumping or, you know, just getting that heart rate up. It all depends, again, on your fitness level and, you know, how much time you have, that kind of thing. But definitely, you don't need any weights at all. You might need a chair. You might need a coffee table or a couch or anything like
house.
That you can. Yeah, something in your house, totally. Or just a little bit of space, maybe even a mat if you don't want to, you know, put your body down on like a hardwood floor or something. But, yes, definitely, you can do a full body workout without going to the gym.
Well, that is good to know because, again, I mean, I think not everybody can make it to the gym. And also, I think we see more kind of luxury gyms, so it might not be in everybody's budget. So I think it's great to know that you can still get that great quality workout at without going to the gym. But then another thing, Nichelle, popping up are vitamin shops. I mean, I feel like I see them everywhere. They're almost on every corner, I feel like fast food restaurants. But I'm curious to ask you, I mean, I see a lot of people taking vitamins, and I feel like you kind of think more of those kind of fitness buff type of people. But are vitamins kind of really a good investment for your health, or can you still kind of get the same things you need from vitamins from foods without taking these vitamins?
I think vitamins, you're right, they're popping up everywhere, but I think they are great, and they're great because sometimes, especially when you're watching what you're eating, and I mean when you're on like a calorie restrictive diet or just in general, because a lot of people are, you know, coming up with allergies and different like, you know, food restrictions, you know, just over the past while, do you find there's a lot more people allergic or, you know, to foods than they used to be. So they're not intaking, you know, or they may not be intaking the nutrients and the minerals that they would have before, or they might be missing out on that. Now, the importance of, you know, having the vitamin shops available to you is you can go in and, you know, make sure you are getting those proper supplements and, you know, minerals and nutrients that you normally would get in food that maybe you're not getting. So a lot of people, let's say, for example, they don't like vegetables, you know, and it's just, oh, I don't like veggies. Well, you can easily go and, let's say, buy like a powdered greens, which you can, I mean, it may not taste the best, but there's different flavors. You can get like apple flavor or berry flavor.
Oh, cool.
You can sometimes hide those in, let's say, like a protein shake, or a protein shake is also a great example of if you don't, you know, like I was saying before, if you know, you should eat meat, you know, several times a day, or like a lean protein. Sometimes you don't feel like eating meat or fish or like whole foods at every meal. You can actually have a powdered protein, and you can stick that in like, you know, a blender, add some water, add some greens, powdered greens in that, add some powdered fruit in that. So you're getting, you know, so you can kind of throw all that in and blend it up, you know. And you can actually drink that, so you're getting all those nutrients. I mean, and it's the same with whether it be, you know, vitamin C or omegas, you know, the fish oils and all that, you know, just creates a better immune overall.
Okay. Well, this is great to know. I guess I need to pop into vitamin shops because I'm one of those people, I like some vegetables, but not all of them. So I might have to try some of the powder. I never even realized that. I guess I'm just thinking kind of, as you said, like vitamin C and stuff, but there's just so many different kind of things that they offer in these vitamin shops. So I think it's definitely, people should at least check out, you know, and see if it's something that you can add to your health regimen.
Yeah, definitely. And everyone's really knowledgeable in the shops. They can definitely help you out. And, you know, depending on your lifestyle and, you know, and you know, what you can afford, because you can end up spending so much when you walk
in.
Sure,
yeah.
You know?
No, that makes sense. And then, Nichelle, I want to transition again to you being a kickboxing instructor. And kickboxing has been something I've always wanted to get into. I always admire kickboxers and, of course, their legs. But I want to know, what are the benefits of kickboxing, per se, for people that want to get into it? Because I think it's kind of a sport that people are kind of getting more into as a way to keep fit.
Oh, definitely. It's such a great workout. And like I said, it's such a great stress reliever, which is, I guess, one of the benefits that when you're asking. But you know, the most important I found is just it's basically learning self defense. I mean, and I, you know, Andy, who wouldn't want to learn self defense on any regular
Need it,
day?
Yeah.
But exactly. So self defense, of course, is the you know a key benefit. But I mean, you're improving your balance, you're improving your flexibility, your coordination, everything, all those good things, and you're getting a great core workout. Because, you know, all the kicks that you're doing and you're so much energy is involved. And, I mean, a core and upper body workout and a lower body workout, it works everything.
Right. So you kind of get all in one with kickboxing. So I think that's
something. And you break a great sweat.
Hey, can't complain with that, right?
Exactly. In fact, you can burn up to 800 calories in like a 10-minute workout. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. So you get it quick and then it's oh, I love that. So I definitely will be starting kickboxing this week.
So there you go. The people who don't have the time for a workout, you just tell them to like kickbox around their living room for 10 minutes and there you go. There's
there
your workout.
Simple and easy. Who doesn't love that? And then I want to say on this kind of fitness thing, Michelle, that we're doing, something I know that people kind of try to differentiate against and kind of when they're looking for a trainer. Some people, you know, go to a trainer or go to the gym, and some people want to lose weight, right? They just want to lose, let's say, 30 pounds or something. But then other people want to go to the gym or work with a trainer because they just want to tone up what they currently have. Can you kind of explain the difference between toning and losing weight? And then with that, can you explain, you know, what kind of diet and exercise is needed to tone versus losing weight?
It's a bit of a tricky question because they kind of go hand in hand.
Okay.
Because when you're losing, well, when you're toning and losing, it's kind of hard. So let's say you're happy with what you have, your whole package, and you just want to tone a little bit. So what I suggest is just, you know, whether it be you contact a personal trainer or you go online or whatever you might do, I would say definitely incorporating the weights because that will definitely, I mean, you don't have to go super heavy. You can go moderate weight and, you know, put together a program or have someone put together a program or, as I said, there's plenty of programs online that you can get for toning. And, you know, you want to make sure, though, you do incorporate the weights and some plyometrics in there as well so that, you know, you're keeping your heart healthy and you're keeping everything, you know, you want to just make sure you raise your heart rate a little. And the difference, you know, in terms of training to lose weight, well, that would be probably the losing weight was when you involved basically the calorie restriction diet. Again, it's like, you know, what goes in your mouth is essentially what is going to be the key important, like the difference. And not saying that when you're toning, you're not watching, because, of course, like I said, it goes as a perfect combination, right? But if you're really focused on losing the weight, then you really got to be careful with, you know, the whole nutrition aspect of it.
Okay. No, and I think that makes sense because I feel like, of course, I mean, I think it's kind of a hand-in-hand process. I think before you can tone, of course, you kind of have to lose the weight so you can tone the muscles that you want to get toned. And with that, Michelle, I want to ask you, I mean, what's kind of – I feel like I see more and more people wanting to gain muscle, right? They'll go to the gym and say, you know, I want to gain muscle in my arms or my legs or, you know, wherever they want to gain muscle. What's the best way to kind of for the, let's say, the average person to gain muscle? Is it just their diet or is it their exercise or is it hand-in-hand?
It's hand in hand. Again, if you do want to gain more muscle, two words to remember, eat more.
Okay.
Eat more. Good stuff, though, right?
But
again, it's all proper diet and ensuring that you're having enough protein in your diet so you can have the building blocks to gain that muscle. So, you know, again, it might be something that you may have to reach out to a trainer or a coach or anyone who's, you know, knowledgeable in that area to ensure that you are eating correctly for your goals.
Right.
Again, that's, you know, I can definitely help you guys out with that. But what you do have to remember is, again, it seems to all come down to food, doesn't it?
Yes, I know, right? It's all what's in our pantry.
Are you hungry?
I know.
But it does. I mean, and of course, lifting heavy, but you want to make sure that you have enough energy to, you know, lift those weights so that you're not, again, it's like you said, hand in hand, right?
Right. I think you said it so well. You know, you just want to make sure you have all the right tools to make sure you can reach your goals. And Michelle, I mean, I like to end every show with my woman crush everyday segment. And today you are my woman crush because, Michelle, you have proven as women we can truly have it all. I mean, you're a woman with many titles and you continue to pave the way for women in the fitness industry, which I think is amazing. And I mean, talking with you, I hope this interview touched at least one person because if so, I feel like I've done my job right. But going with that, I'm just curious to ask, I mean, do you have any women role models who have influenced your career?
That's a good question. Oh.
curious.
I think my biggest, no one in specific, I think the biggest influencers for me and motivation is, I would say, any mom out there, any woman just working their butt off, you know, just really trying to get everything done and, you know, just that whole no excuses. I love when I see a driven, you know, woman out there and just really trying to make a difference and trying to, you know, not only keep themselves motivated, but others motivated as well. And that, I mean, and that's in any aspect. I just see so many women out there working so hard, and that's the whole thing, you know, women supporting women and empowering one another. And, you know, I love that about that. So all those, you know, even my clients, I always tell them, you don't know how motivating you actually are to me because you keep me going. And they're saying, well, no, but it's a two-way street, you know?
Right.
So it really, it's every woman out there working hard, making a difference.
So well said. I mean, I think those are my role models as well, because obviously, I mean, when you do it, we're watching you and you continue to pave the way for other women. And Nichelle, before I close out, could you provide your website again and your social media contact information so people can follow you as they try to reach their fitness goals?
Of course. My main one is my website. It's Nichelle Loss, again, with an N, NichelleLoss.com. And, of course, you can find me on Instagram, Nichelle Loss, and on Facebook, Nichelle Loss Fitness, as well as Twitter is Nichelle Loss. Very simple.
Easy. I love when people make it easy with their names, because then it just keeps it simple for all of us. But, Nichelle,
exactly.
Thank you again for joining us. It was a blast. And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every Tuesday and Thursday for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for downloads on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.